Beautiful. Right. Pentecost Sunday. Come on. It's good, isn't it? So this is my final sermon. As a St. Marian. Do you call it that? Don't know. I always think the Crittons or the Cretans. I don't know why when I hear that I always think they're like... Yeah. And I think with your final sermon, it's much like your first sermon. You always want to do a good one. So you probably just get a normal one. But it was just, I suppose today, really, I wanted to bring like a letter to you. It's like, what would I write to you on this final day? And I just really sense that there's such a call on this church. Such a hand of God upon St. Mary's Church to see a wonderful move of the Holy Spirit. And I see you as a family of God who longs to see souls won for Jesus. You're not interested in just doing church. I know that. You really want to see the streets filled with the presence of God. To see homes filled, to see people, souls coming home to Jesus. That's why you exist. And that's why the hand of God is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Leonard Ravenhill put it like this. In revival, God is not concerned about filling empty churches. He's concerned about filling empty hearts. And I truly believe that this is the heartbeat of this church, that you long to see empty hearts filled with the living God. Amen. Amen. That's why we exist, to see the captive set free, to see the prisoner released, to see the least, the last and the lost called in to the kingdom of God. That's why we have the Spirit of God upon us. And I truly believe, not just in St. Mary's, but the church in whole of Loughton needs to be preparing itself for much more of God, much more of his kingdom, because boy, don't we need it. We need the presence of God to come upon us, because there's so much more to be done. God is calling St. Mary's and the church in Loughton to go deeper in the things of God, wider in his mission, and to be filled with great courage, because there's many souls who will not be going into eternity right at this moment. He is coming again, and we don't know when, but what we do know is that we have a job at hand, and we need the presence of the Holy Spirit to do it. We are called to be a white hot bride with the fire of God burning in us. And we, like the disciples in today's reading, have a call upon our lives. Like the disciples, the church also has this call to see people healed, restored, poured into everlasting life with Jesus. And we, like the disciples, cannot do it in our own strength. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus couldn't do it in his own strength. Why do we think we're any different? On the day of his baptism, the dove of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And where did they send him after that? Where did God send him? Into the wilderness. And we are like that. We need the dove of the Holy Spirit upon us, because we're sent into the wilderness of this world to bring about the light and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where we are to be. That's where the church is to exist, in the very dark, desolate places of this land. And we are a supernatural church, born of the Holy Spirit. Today's the church's birthday. I'm so glad someone in an office somewhere didn't make up the idea of church. How awful would that be? It was God's idea. Born of his Holy Spirit, we are supernatural. Francis Chan, he's got some good books out. I recommend reading him if you need a little shock to your system. He says this about the church. The church becomes irrelevant when it becomes purely a human creation. We are not at all where we were made to be when everything in our churches can be explained apart from the work and presence of the Spirit of God. If we can explain it away because we're so brilliant, so educated, then that's not what the church was meant to be. The church was meant to be a supernatural family of God where people can't explain what happens in that family. How do they do that? How do they restore families that way? You know, the social system is falling about around us in this generation. We need more than ever the social system of the kingdom of God at work. It's the power and presence of God that the world needs. And they need to look upon the church and think, how do they do that? And we simply say, it's God at work within us. It's the power of God at work. I had a wake-up call last week or the week before. I can't remember. It's been a blur. We've been painting a house. Thank you to everyone that's been helping. I was reminded of this fact that we're supernatural beings filled with the presence of God. Why wouldn't it be different to some other people in this world, our lives? So Mark decided to do some DIY. Mark is not the best DIY person. He's good, but he just uses the wrong tools for the wrong job. So we had to get some floorboards up because the flooring company were coming in to lay some laminate. I get a call 9 o'clock at night. Sweetheart, I'm just going off to hospital. Why, Mark? What have you done? And he's like, I've pulled up a floorboard with a crowbar, as you do. And it slipped, and it's cut my finger a little bit. He played it down, so I was like, oh, all right, then I'll see you later, thinking he just needed a bit of glue in or something. Mike Smith went over and said, this is serious, Lydia, I'm taking him to hospital. It turns out that after a trip to the hospital that he'd severed his tendon in his finger. Now, this was going to be weeks of recovery and an operation on Thursday. So off we go on a Thursday. We had childcare all day because we thought this is going to be a day job. We had a taxi booked for the way home because we thought this is a big surgery. So we get to the Royal London and I'm sitting, set up my little workshop in the waiting area thinking I'll order the blinds and things like that when he's in there. And it's like when you've got lots of children, you take what you can. And so I settled myself out. 10 minutes later, Mark comes out. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, it's been completely healed. And I'm like, what? So they didn't have to do the surgery in the end. The tendon had completely healed itself. And I was reminded that morning of where we was busy, getting everything ready, stressed because we got to get to hospital. And Caitlin told us to settle down in the kitchen. We should pray for Jesus to heal it. She went, wouldn't it be amazing if they took the bandage off and it was healed? And I'm like, oh, my God. And then, so I let her pray while I kept preparing the shreddies. And completely, the tendon was completely healed. He still had to have some stitches. I still have a bit of sympathy for him. But I was reminded in that moment, of course that can happen in our family. Because we're believers of Jesus Christ. We belong to a family who have been born of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural things happen in our family. And I want to say to us as a church, we need to be expectant again for the Holy Spirit to move amongst us and to do what the Holy Spirit can only do. He can heal a tendon. He can do anything the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so I want to encourage us to be expectant again for the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us. 1 Corinthians says, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. It's not just doctrine. It's not just nice creeds that we get to say together. That's good. But it's in the demonstration of the power of God here on earth. The kingdom of God. And I believe that we need a decisive moment in the bride of Christ in this generation. We need a moment where we have that decisive moment of being filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. These disciples had a decisive moment with the Holy Spirit. I love how it's described in the book of Acts. They know this has happened to them. We know if we've been filled with the Holy Spirit or have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've experienced the Holy Spirit in your life, you know you've received the Holy Spirit. And these disciples are the same. They can describe everything. This is a decisive moment. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. The wind blew in. They could describe everything that's happened to them. It's a decisive moment. This is something that's really happened. It's defined them and it shaped them. You really truly know when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need more decisive moments. We're so tell about the decisive moment of Calvary, of how we come to know Jesus. We share this story, don't we? But we don't share so often. Some of us are filled wham bam in that one moment, fantastic. But so often we don't share the story of the decisive moment of Pentecost in our lives, of the coming down of the Holy Spirit in our lives, of sharing those experiences of what it was to have the fire of God warm our very souls. You know my story of Calvary. You know my story of the blood of Jesus coming to cleanse my life, to forgive my sins and take me into eternal life. You know that story. I was a little rat bag before I met Jesus. Still am sometimes. But before I came to Jesus, I had all of this rubbish that I needed to bring to him. And I heard about this Savior that can take away my sin and offer me eternal life. And I said yes to that. It was a decisive moment in my life. I knew from that moment things were never going to be the same. And a couple of months in of living the Christian life, I thought everybody else seems to know what they're doing. Everybody else seems to be able to do the life. I'm struggling. I'm still struggling in my sin. I'm still struggling to know what I'm meant to do as a Christian. I needed a decisive Pentecost moment. I needed the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we was at Soul Survivor at the time, and everybody just seemed to know what they were doing in worship, you know. And I'm still working it out. Are you meant to do this or this or this? What are you meant to do? I'm not sure. Everybody else seems to know what to do. Oh, some of them fall. Oh, didn't know you were meant to do that. And just kind of thinking, how do I get there? And I remember it all just overwhelmed, and I ran out of the tent crying, because I just remember thinking, like, I need something. I think I need the Holy Spirit. And I settled myself. It was a dark night, and I found the bandstand at Shepton Mallet, if you've ever been there. And I sat down in the pitch black of the night, and I simply asked, come, Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit wasn't electric bolts. Would have really liked it to have been, but it wasn't. It was the gentle filling of the Holy Spirit. And I left that bandstand a different woman. I went there confused. I went there not knowing what I was meant to do with my life, not knowing how I was meant to be responding as a Christian. And I left that bandstand knowing that I was meant to be a priest in the Anglican Church going after revival. And that came from the sending of the Holy Spirit. I needed the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36 puts it like this. I will give you a new heart. That's Calvary, Jesus. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. We need Calvary, but we need Pentecost. We need the new heart, yes, but we need the filling of the Holy Spirit so we can live the Christian life, so we can walk the ways in which God has asked us to walk. We need the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and we need these decisive moments to know that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit and called to go out. You might be sitting here saying, I've had that moment. I've had my bandstand moment, Lydia, but I'm cold. What's happened to it? I wish I could go back. And I want to encourage you, like Timothy encourages us, fan into flame. Stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit that is within you. It's time to get serious again about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot do what God's asked us to do without the daily filling of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do the supernatural things in which we're called to without the supernatural presence of Jesus living within us. We need the Holy Spirit. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We need his Holy Spirit. Corrie ten Boom says, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is one of the most dangerous, confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when filled with the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus just flows from you. We are dangerous if we try to do the work of Jesus without the presence of the Holy Spirit. But when we do it with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the very things of his kingdom will flow from us. So we need to be serious about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to get it, and we need to get on with it. Time is running out. We need to do whatever we need to do to get the Holy Spirit and to get on with the mission in which God has called us to. Amen. Amen. Come on. So the first thing that we read from Acts today is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he makes us go public. When the Holy Spirit is upon the church, we become a public witness to the resurrected Jesus Christ. We need to go public. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot stay in that upper room anymore. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what did the disciples do? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They had this amazing move of the Spirit amongst them. What do? Do they say, get a flyer, put it on the door, people can come and join us. This is an amazing meeting. Let's get a Twitter feed on this, because we're the most amazing church in all of Jerusalem. No, they don't. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, and what do? They go out onto the streets to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot have a private faith. It's just not possible. Our faith, our Christian witness will always go public. And these disciples, they do not preach about just their experience. Oh, do you remember that time in the upper room? Oh, do you remember? They don't preach of their experience, but their experience leads them out to preach of Jesus. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then we cannot be an anonymous Christian anymore. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, people will know they're a follower of Jesus, because there's power in them. And they cannot stop preaching to me about Jesus. Filled with the Holy Spirit causes us to go public. And then being filled with the Holy Spirit also causes us to be living witnesses of God. It says in Acts 1:8, before being held in the upper room, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it doesn't just fill our speech, but it fills our very lives, and our whole lives become witnesses to God. We hear about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't just know about it, but your life knows about it. You start to have this love in your life, this joy, this kindness, this patience, this self-control. It's all fruit of the Holy Spirit living within you. It's a living witness to those around you. They love in such a different way. It's because we've got the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us. They have such joy. It's a living witness of the Holy Spirit living within us. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us also, we're given gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's a witness to those around us. They have such knowledge. They have such wisdom. They prophesy of the things of Jesus. These people are gifted because they've been gifted with the things of the Holy Spirit. And it becomes a witness to those around us. Are you getting what I'm hearing? That you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit without someone else noticing that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are a witness to the world around us. And it's this out-of-world experience of the Holy Spirit that sends the disciples into the world, into the darkest corners of the world, heaven sent to be earth spread. The wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. Then also the Holy Spirit comes to send us out, to go out into the corners of the world. I love this, how the disciples from this moment are never the same again. Their lives are not their own anymore. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to be sent. It's not to come back to the upper room week after week. Upper room experience. Go and do a bit of a week. Come back to the upper room. Every day of your life is now the upper room. We are sent to go out in the name of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. He never calls us to stay in the upper room. And there's places upon this earth that many of us are called to. We might not be called to get on a plane and go to India. We might not be called to go to Persia or wherever else the disciples got spread out to. We might be simply called, some of us have been called to St. Michael's. Some of us would be called to the streets of Loughton here. Some of us would be called into teaching children. Some of us would be called into the workplace. Wherever you're called to, it has been sent by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a sending spirit. Evan Roberts, the Welsh revivalist in 1904, speaks about this coming of the holy dove of God, this burning fire of the Holy Spirit that changes his life forever. And he says this: I felt a living force coming into my bosom. It grew and grew, and I was almost bursting. My bosom was boiling. What boiled in me was that God commends his love. I fell on my knees with my arms flung on the seat in front. Tears flowed freely. Suddenly, the glory broke and a wave of peace came over me. I began to think about Judgment Day, and I was filled with compassion for the world, and I wept. And henceforth, the salvation of souls became a burden on my heart. And from that time on, I was on fire with the desire to go out to all of Wales and would have paid God for the privilege. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives, he will burden our hearts for the things that burdened Christ's. He will put a fire in our very souls for the things in which there was a fire upon Jesus to do. And what I love about Evan Roberts is that he didn't care if he got paid for it. He would have paid God for the privilege of seeing souls come home to Jesus. And I wonder, do we need the fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit today? Do we need our hearts to be burdened afresh with what they really should be burdened for? When was the last time we wept? When was the last time we wept for this town, for this nation, for this world, for our loved ones? We need the Holy Spirit. We need a move of God more than ever. And we need to get the Holy Spirit because we need to get on with it. Because there's much to do. And we need to make a decision that we're going to have a decisive moment. And we're going to ask for the sending of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. I love how it speaks about Peter in this scripture. And we heard last week of how Peter denied Jesus, went back to fishing, and then he meets with Jesus over breakfast and he gets reinstated and before he goes out on the mission field. And now here is Peter standing before a crowd, not denying Jesus, but telling of the wonderful gospel of Jesus. And it says, and then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, ... And I want to say this. And then St. Mary's, filled with the Holy Spirit, what did you do? What did you do with it? Put that your name then, Lydia, filled with the Holy Spirit, led a church. And then Martin, filled with the Holy Spirit, led people into the presence itself. And then Mark, filled with the Holy Spirit, taught toddlers and families of the love of Jesus. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because that's when his kingdom bursts forth. Amen. I want to encourage us. We're going to have some time now to ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because I truly believe that God is preparing for a wonderful move. I've been feeling it for years. I feel a bit bored saying it, actually. One of those people. You know, I just... He is coming again. We're definitely preparing for that move. But we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let us not be a church that can describe everything that we did. But let's be a church that the undescribable things of God happened amongst us. But we need the Holy Spirit. Let's not be fooled into thinking we can do it by ourselves. So, Martin, if I encourage the band to come up. And you can stay where you're at, or you can come to the front if you want to make a stand. It's up to you. I'm not going to be dictating anything. But we're simply going to ask the Holy Spirit to come afresh upon us today. You might have never asked the Holy Spirit to come upon your life before. It is so simple. Just simply ask. If you know that you are saved, that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the right, the privilege of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if that's you, I want to encourage you just to simply ask, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh. Fill me to overflowing with your wonderful presence. There might be some of us today that need to fan into flame that gift that was given to us. Maybe you're living off of 10 years ago bread or something. And you're still talking about that day in the upper room when the Spirit came. It's new every morning. We need his presence. So let's just take a moment and we're simply going to ask for the Spirit to come.